Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we discover what real joy looks like in the exciting book of Philippians. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's conversation in the book of Philippians. I'm joined again by John Edmonds, my dear friend and president of Veritas Baptist College. We're in chapter 3 today, John.
It's good to be with you, Pastor. Again, I'm excited about discussing Philippians 3, one of my favorite passages in Philippians.
You heard in the introduction to this particular series of messages from Philippians that the book of Philippians covers the topic of joy, real joy. And we talked about this way back in chapter 1, not happiness or good fortune, but that real abiding inner joy that is only possible to somebody that knows the Lord.
Yeah, it is the fruit of the Spirit, as we all know. The fruit of the Spirit, you know, will produce joy in us. The world is often trying to find happiness and tries to find happiness in all sorts of avenues. But I'm thankful as a child of God, I can have joy that is produced in me as I follow the Holy Spirit, allow Him to control my life.
And it's interesting, the irony, or I should say the, what's the word I'm looking for? It's almost like an oxymoron, because in chapters 1 and 2, you find a couple themes. One theme is trials and hard times. In chapter 1, the Apostle Paul in jail, and not only in jail, but people lying about him and manipulation. In chapter 2, the Lord Jesus and the death of the cross. And yet in both chapters, we find that prevalent theme of joy. So trials and joy coexisting.
And that is not human nature. People don't think that is logical, but you are right. It is kind of oxymoron, but it is true that here people sometimes get so discouraged by circumstances. But Paul showed us, Jesus showed us how that we can have joy in the midst of adversities.
So chapter 3 begins with the word, and this is so funny because I've tongue-in-cheek referenced this as a pastor, because the Apostle Paul's halfway done with his letter, and he says, "Finally, my brethren." And you and I have both heard people say, see that? You know, when a preacher says "finally" or "my final point," he means absolutely nothing.
That is true. I've heard many sermons that was "finally" was about 10 times.
But it's not that the Apostle Paul's being disingenuous here, my friends. "Finally" really is a word that means, okay, and now on to the rest. So the Apostle Paul is making a bit of a transition here. So I think it's a good chapter division. The Apostle Paul is making a transition to talk about some warnings. He's really going to give us a positive admonition in verse 1, and then he's going to warn us about some things in verse 2. So "finally" is a transition.
Without doubt, we're going to see here that Paul, you know, his tone changes slightly as we go into chapter 3, which is why he does have this transition that we see in verse 1.
So talk about what that means, the tone changes.
Here we see in Philippians 3:1 that Paul is going to address some false teaching that has come into the church and is starting to do harm to some Christians. You know, in Galatians, we see this very prevalently. And in Galatians, that is the only epistle of Paul that there's no commendation for the church, because error was so rampant throughout many of the churches there that Paul jumped right into, you know, correcting them. That the church at Philippi is doing a lot of things good, but there is some false teaching. And so Paul wants to meet that head on to show them, you don't want to go down this road.
And remember, my friends, the Apostle Paul, this is what we call one of the prison epistles. And so the Apostle Paul's not only writing to the Philippians, he's writing to the Ephesians, he's writing to the Colossian believers, he's writing to the Laodiceans. Not all the letters are included as scripture. He's writing to Philemon. And it's interesting that in each one of these letters, he's dealing with this issue, the issue of people that are coming in and dismantling the doctrine of Christ, the liberty that we have in him by faith. And we're going to find some of that here in chapter 3. And yet before he gives us any of those warnings, he gives us that great admonition, rejoice in the Lord. And I feel as if that one pithy statement helps us to understand the entirety of where joy rests. Rejoice in the Lord.
What without doubt Paul is emphasizing, as we have seen in Philippians, Paul emphasizing joy, and he will continue to do so. And there are people who are trying to take the joy away from the Christian believers in the simplicity of Christ. And Paul wants them to remember, you know, there is joy in Christ. There is not joy in the flesh, which he'll come to momentarily, but he starts off by reminding them the joy is found in one place, and that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we rejoice in.
When we find our joy in circumstances, then our joy can be robbed from us because circumstances change. When we find our joy in other people, then our joy is at best going to be unpredictable because other people are unpredictable. But when we find our joy in the Lord, the fact that He is in control, He has a sovereign purpose, He's working all things together for my good, when I truly find joy in the person of Christ, then I have a joy that can be unchangeable. I have a joy that's foundationed in a place that that it's where it's sure, it's settled. So rejoice in the Lord becomes the kind of the watch phrase, watch clause of the entire book. Rejoice in the Lord always, he says in the next chapter. And again, I say rejoice. So joy is not an end in of itself. Joy is what we find in a concentration on a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, and Jesus wants us to have joy. Christ evidenced when he walked upon the earth, he evidenced how he had joy in spite of what was going on. We see that in the Apostle Paul very clearly in Philippians, as Pastor already said. Paul shows us his joy was in Christ. It was not at all dependent upon what was going on around him. And that's a lesson I need to remind myself of daily. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter if my agenda is disrupted by problems. My joy is not in my agenda. My joy is not in what may be going on around me. My joy is in Jesus Christ. And as Pastor mentioned a moment ago, Christ does not change. And because of that, I can have joy that is solid no matter what is going on around me throughout my day.
Here are a couple of verses we've already covered in the course of this series. Chapter 1, Paul said, having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. So there's the joy theme. Verse 26, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. There's the joy of the Lord. Chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. Hey, you're going to bring joy to me if you'll just think like Jesus, and you'll have unity among yourselves. And then in verse 17, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. And so throughout the book, we find this theme, joy, joy, rejoicing. And then in chapter 2 and verse 28, I sent him, Epaphroditus, therefore, the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. So it just seems as if every five or six verses, the Apostle Paul comes back to this theme, joy, joy, and joy. And now he's letting us know irrefutably that joy is found in the work and person of the Lord Jesus Christ.
It is a theme we find throughout Scripture. One of my favorite verses when difficulties arise is Habakkuk chapter 3, 17 through 19. Habakkuk has been going through some terrible things with the nation of Judah, God's people. And then he's kind of despondent, really. But then God shows him a vision of himself. And then Habakkuk, as he concludes that short book, talks about no matter if there's nothing in the stalls, the fold is empty, the fields are barren, he says, yet I will joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk knew what Paul is teaching here, and that is joy can come in God no matter what's going on, because God is our almighty God. He's our Father.
Oh, that's so good. So just to complete the thought in verse 1, finally, my brethren, so this is an admonition to believers. So you're listening to the podcast today and saying, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm not joyful. Am I really saved? No. People in the Bible had to be reminded to get their joy back. And so rejoice in the Lord. And then he says this, to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. So it's almost, John, as if the apostle is saying, I've been over this before. I've taught you these principles before, but I'm not afraid to. It doesn't bother me to tell you the things that you've already heard and things that I've already written.
Yeah, Paul, these are such important principles. Paul wants them to know these do bear repeating. I know many of you who are parents, maybe you get tired of telling your child something again and again. But Paul said, you know, this is so important. It does not bother me in the least to go over this with you again. You've got to get this down, Philippian believers.
Two of my very favorite books in the Bible, 2 Timothy and then 2 Peter, both thematically deal with remember, especially 2 Peter chapter 1, where the Apostle Peter goes into that whole thing about, hey, I'm going to tell you these things, even though you know them, even though you're practicing them, you're established in the present truth. Matter of fact, I'm going to endeavor after I die that you'll have these things always in remembrance. And that's what the letter is. The letter is Peter saying, okay, I'm dead, but I'm still reminding you. Because there are certain themes in the Bible that just need to be part of the warp and woof of our thinking. And the Apostle Paul is saying, one of those themes is this, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Find your joy in the never-changing God who's working all things together for your good. Don't look at circumstances. Don't look at the other people. Look at the Lord.
You know, we as people sometimes can be quite forgetful about who God is. We know this theologically, but sometimes the practicalities, the dailies of life, as it were, we sometimes lose sight of what is most important. And Paul wants to keep bringing them back to that. Christians, you must find your joy in the Lord. And Paul is telling us that because he knows if we get a hold of that truth, it really is life changing.
And one final thought, I guess I would offer on that, on verse one is, hey, it doesn't bother me to have to tell you this time and time again. I know how important this truth is. And then he says this, for you, it is safe. So I would just, I guess, say to all of our listeners, especially young people, don't ever be upset when you feel that your leaders are repeating things to you. Sometimes we get frustrated and say, I got it. You don't have to tell me. But there's safety in hearing these reiterated themes. And there's safety, listeners, when God repeats certain themes in your life, like, hey, don't let people rob your joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Let God do a work in your life in this area of finding your joy in Jesus. So we covered one verse, John.
We made great headway today.
I don't know if it's great headway, but it was an important verse. And listen, my friends, it was a transitional verse. As the Apostle Paul is now going to unpack some of the ways by which the Philippian church was challenged, some of the ways that joy can be stolen, practically, theologically, we'll look at all of that. But we can't look at it today because we are out of time already. So I hope that you'll have a joyful day. And here's one thing I wanted to say. I'm thinking about it at the last possible moment. And that is to rejoice in the Lord, my friends, is not working yourself up emotionally. Rejoice, that's an imperative. It's a decision you make. You today can decide to rejoice in God. It begins with thinking about Him, thinking about His character, thinking about His immutability, thinking about His mercy. I'll tell you what, just take about 5 minutes thinking about what you have and who you are in Christ. I suspect that the joy will take care of itself. God bless you, my friends. I hope you have a great day. We'll talk to you next episode.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.